Welcome to After Dark on the America Out Loud platform. I am your host, Rob Harper, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Folks, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I wasn't going to talk about this topic, just going to talk about something else. But then after watching the news and seeing so much coverage, and Heather, you and I, we spoke about this the other night, I think it was Tuesday night, about the former head of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel.
Yes.
Leaving the RNC and then going to NBC as an analyst. And her first appearance was this past Sunday on Meet the Press with Christine Weckler. And man, did the upper brass at NBC, well, the upper brass was okay, but the talent, how they came after her and attacked the upper brass of NBC, asking why did they hire her, that she's an election denier, and how could they, and that they're all about the truth. It was Chuck Todd. It was Rachel Maddow. It was Joy Reid, Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough. They were all just like coming after this woman and after their bosses. The folks on Joe Scarborough, they even said Mika Brzezinski that she would not be a guest on their show. Heather.
Yeah.
What is this, the United States of America? I mean, a majority of the people that are on there, look at Jen Psaki. She came from Joe Biden's White House. She was still at Joe Biden's White House when she was negotiating a contract to appear on NBC. Simone Sanders is on there. Chuck Scarborough used to be in Congress. And then all the rest of them, they're talking about she's an election denier. They deny that Trump was elected legitimately. They came out and said he colluded with the Russians. And now they're coming after Ronna McDaniel?
Well, it's part of this pattern, Rob, where it's like not enough that they got their way. The election was settled. Biden won. They have to try to destroy, and not just silence, but destroy anyone who dared to ask the question, was there corruption in the election? I heard that they're trying to get lawyers disbarred, you know, some of these, you know, powers that be. I mean, can you imagine just for merely representing Trump? I mean, everyone in this country gets a legal defense, the worst, most heinous criminals. I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, I cannot understand trying to prosecute and silence and disbar lawyers. I mean, that's part of the job of a lawyer. To represent, you know, include lots of clients, including clients who are criminals, clients who are disreputable. I mean, these people in this establishment, it seems they cannot tolerate not only losing, you know, but they cannot tolerate winning and having anyone in the country think otherwise, think that they may not have won legitimately. I got news for them, you know, in a free country, it's people's right to believe what they want. And as far as I know, we are all entitled to file a lawsuit about anything. I mean, if it's not compelling to the judge, it'll be thrown out, right? But you can't disbar lawyers, I don't think, for representing somebody who turned out to have a weak case or... But I mean, this is of a piece with all of this. I mean, they can't tolerate this woman having a job in liberal media. I saw Juan Williams on Fox saying, you know, I mean, look, you have people like me on your network. Why can't there be a conservative on their network? But, you know, they're intolerant. They're babyish. They're very threatened by anybody who has another perspective. And I think it's because deep down, a lot of them know that their policies are very flawed. They don't have a lot to run on. Their candidate is corrupt. And they're insecure for good reason. But that doesn't give them the right in America to try to prosecute people or disbar people for representing a client they hate. And I think it's lousy they got this woman fired.
And I think that she should file a lawsuit. I think for termination of contract, for them slandering, saying all these bad things about her. And they are the chief election deniers. And see, this is the problem. And I've called this out before. You have NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, PMSNBC, fake news CNN, The Washington Post, The LA Times, The New York Times. You have all of these guys colluding together to stifle, to stop free speech, yet they will say that democracy dies in the dark. Well, they are the dark. They're the ones who are killing democracy. And when you have all these folks coming out, groupthink, attacking one person, and then when you have the right that won't go after them, I mean, I think the right has been too complacent. They have sat back, afraid, so it seems, of anything that the left does. And it's like they're always following the left. They won't go after these guys. They will say, well, you know, they've got some good people there, so I don't want to besmirch. No, you have to go after them because when you don't, you're complicit. And people will assume and will think, well, maybe they're telling the truth. I mean, I'm going to call the names out. Fox News. They are the largest conservative news outlet. Why aren't they doing more to expose these fake news networks? They should be calling them out on a daily basis and saying what they're doing is not journalism. You just got to call it out. I don't want to hear, well, there are some good people that are there. No, you need to call out the network and say what they're doing is wrong. They are a threat to democracy. Because when they have such a huge impact, a huge print, a huge footprint on what we're consuming, you can't see the truth. And the only thing people will see is they'll turn on the network and then they'll hear, oh, well, she was kicked out because she was an election denier. That's all people will hear. They won't hear the rest of the story and they know it. They don't want you to hear the rest of the story. And when all of them are working in concerted efforts the way they did during the 2020 election, the truth can't come out. Just imagine, think about what they did with social media and this whole Hunter Biden, how they covered it up, how they censored conservatives. And we were saying all along, they're censoring us. And you had the right, well, yeah, but, and then they had these hearings on the Hill. I thought it's meaningless. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen if there isn't a cause and effect. If you do this, this is what will happen to you. Now, I know that you and I, we don't agree with, as I said, we need to shut this down. It needs to be shut down because they are not functioning as a free media. They are functioning as a propaganda arm of the left. And there's a big difference between free speech, the media, and functioning as a political operative. And that's what they're doing. And we need a few good people to call them out. I'm going to call them out every chance I get. And that's the reason why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because what they did to her to try to silence her voice was wrong. Now, did they ever try to silence Chris Christie? No. They didn't silence him. You know why? Because he's attacking conservatives. He comes out and he attacks Donald Trump and all of the other, Michael Steele, who's on MSNBC, PMSNBC. They like him. Why? Well, because he attacks conservatives. He's not a true conservative. He would like for you to think that he's a true conservative, but he isn't. He's a blue dog Democrat at best, but he's not a conservative. Joe Scarborough, he's not a conservative. He wants everyone to think that he's conservative, but he's not. And then so many others. I was looking the other day at a clip from, I think it was 2020, it was October 2020, of Bill Barr, who was Trump's attorney general. He was being interviewed on fake news CNN by Wolf Blitzer. And Wolf Blitzer was saying, well, you know, it's okay to have mail-in ballots because what's the big deal? You know, people should be allowed. What if people can't go in? We should start early. And Bill Barr said, nope. He said, wait a minute. He said, this is wrong. He said, and you know it. He said, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, but in essence, he said, this is a recipe for disaster. People need to believe in our elections. And when we start opening up and letting anyone vote at any time, you're going to have problems. He said this. Even Jerry Nadler said the exact same thing back in the 1990s. I think it was 2000s, 2006, to be exact. that mail-in ballots by anyone was a recipe for disaster. Fast forward, they're all, "Oh no, let's do it, let's do it." And if you call it out, "Oh, you're trying to hamper people, hinder, keep people from voting. You're trying to hinder them from voting." It's like, no, we're not. We're trying to protect voting. It angers me seeing what they're doing to our democracy. They now want to allow illegals to vote. They want Americans to hate America. What other country do they know, Heather? They know of no other country. This is the only country. Though they can say, "Oh, well, look at Europe." Okay, then move to Europe. But to hate a country that allows you free speech, that allows you to say that you hate the country, and now you want to get rid of it. Now you want to trounce all over the Constitution. Now you want to take away people's voices so that they can't speak, they can't have free speech.
They can't believe that there was corruption in an election. They're not allowed to hire a lawyer to argue that. They're not
It's
allowed.
dangerous. It's dangerous, and people don't see it. Why don't they see it? Because the media won't call them out. The media is keeping this from you. The media has painted this picture that what we're saying is right. We're protecting you, but you're not. You're causing more harm. Look at the criminal activity that has increased in our large blue states. And you have these mayors that are saying, "Oh, there's nothing wrong." Eric Adams, "Oh, you know, that's all a matter of perception." When you see people that are being killed and slashed on the subway, we had a police officer that was just killed. And you want to tell me it's perception? We've got a
And
problem.
it seemed to me that, Adams was he was stronger than, the others today, in talking about how admitting that there's a real problem with the bail reform and recidivism. I have to confess, I don't quite understand, I mean, whether there's anything he can do. He isn't the DA, he's the mayor. And I guess he could fire Bragg, right? I mean, he should. I
Well,
mean,
he
if
can't,
the
but the governor can. The
Yeah.
governor can fire Alvin Bragg.
Oh, okay.
What Eric Adams can do is put pressure on the governor to fire him, but they won't do it
That's what
because
he
they're
can do.
working in cahoots.
Well, he seems like Adam seems like he's less extreme than they are, but I don't know. Maybe that's just a pose. Like, I remember after, the incident, the terrible incident on the subway with the Marine, with that Daniel Penny and that mentally ill man who was threatening the strap hangers. And actually, I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure whether that case is still pending. I believe it is, but I remember that Adam said, "Look, don't judge. You weren't on the train. You don't know. That's what trials are for." He does strike a more reasonable tone than like most of the extreme leftists. And I know Bratton's, I mean, excuse me, Bragg is terrible. I don't know, if there's something more that Adams could do that we should try to press him to do, because this is he acknowledged today, that this is a terrible problem. These people who shot this officer and killed him had 20 priors, both of them. And anybody who's going to defend their being out on the street is an absolute joke. I mean, this is a no-brainer at this point. And I believe, there was some acknowledgement from Adams that there's a loss of respect for law enforcement. I don't know why he doesn't do more. He seems to be flooding the streets with NYPD. There's a big presence, but they're not being treated with respect. They are not feared. And I'm not saying people should be walking around in terror of the police. We know we don't want that. We don't want police brutality. But there's something in between that and people just, as we say in Pennsylvania, jagging off the police to their face, which is what I saw when I was in New York last. I told you the story about the police officers asking the man to put out his cigarette in the subway station. And the guy just took his time, finished his smoke, had no regard for the police. They have the criminals have no fear. And Adams knows it. He's a former cop. I don't know why he doesn't do more.
Because they don't care. I give him no props whatsoever. I think that he is just part of the problem because he can put pressure on Kathy Hochul to fire Alvin Bragg. But again, you have the media shilling for all these individuals, telling us what you see is not actually what you're seeing. These people are such threats to our democracy. They are destroying the country. We don't have to worry about China coming in to destroy us because we will destroy ourselves. Watching them so gleefully, first it was Trump. They thought that Letitia James was going to be able to steal his assets. And we talked about that the other night. She wasn't successful. They blew a gasket. They were so incensed that, oh my God, he's getting away with murder again. We can't believe this. He should be in jail. And then this woman, I mean, she probably would have given them what they wanted. She probably would have talked down about Republicans. She even came out and said, oh, well, I made a mistake about the whole thing with the election and I shouldn't have said that. So you would have thought that they would have been okay with that, but no, they weren't. These people are dangerous. They are a threat to our democracy. They are a threat to the country. And I will say it over and over again, they need to be shut down. If I could, I would probably buy those stations and fire all of them, give them all pink slips and say, you're out, get out, get out. You have served no purpose. No purpose whatsoever. Now, we can't rely on Elon Musk. He can't go along and buy up all these news outlets trying to make it right the way he did with Twitter. And I'm hearing now that Kathy Hettrich, who's an ace reporter, whom CBS fired because she was being truthful about the Hunter Biden laptop, they fired her. And now I'm hearing that she's going to go to X, formerly known as Twitter. Now, just imagine if Elon Musk is able to get her and a few other really good, solid news reporters, maybe they will give the media a run for its money. Because right now, what these guys are putting out there, it is extremely dangerous, and they need to be shut down. The same way I would submit to you that our nation's capital needs to leave D.C., at least the CIA and the FBI. Now, we're up against a hard commercial break. We'll be back, and we will continue our discussion of the media meltdown until they got their way with the firing of Rona McDaniel. Hope you come back.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Healthycell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
And we're back after dark, Robin Andrew and my special co-host, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. And we're going to continue this conversation of the media throwing a hissy fit until they got what they want these pampered so-called journalists. I was reading an article the other day, and they said that one of the top, what was it, fields to go into or majors that people have regrets about, one of them was journalism. And it's really sad because people, I mean, there are a lot of people that could write. There are a lot of good writers that are out there. But it takes a certain type of person to be a journalist, a seasoned journalist, and you're able to go in and be fair and impartial, even when you have a bleeding heart for what you're covering. I remember when I was in journalism school, they said that, you're human, but when you're covering a subject, if a person just, was saw witness a killing of a loved one, if you can't handle that story, if you can't go to them and be objective, then let someone else do it. But if you're going to go there and start crying and all this other stuff, it's like, don't cover the story. Nowadays, you see journalists becoming part of the story. They make themselves a part of the story. And that's not good. We shouldn't know anything about these journalists other than the fact that they report the news, they go home, and that's it. But now we know what designer clothes they're wearing. We know about their personal life, their hobbies. We didn't know any of that stuff about Walter Cronkite or Peter Jennings. But it's always like, we want to know what they're doing. You got Anderson Cooper appearing on Bravo, talking about his sex life and him adopting kids. Who cares about that? No one wants to know about that. But see, these guys aren't journalists. They're talk show hosts. They're commentators. And when you cross that bridge, of course you want everything out there, and it's all about you. It's always about you because you want people to look up to you and look at your lifestyle. So when I saw these individuals on NBC crying and attacking the upper brass at NBC saying, "Oh, you owe us an apology. How could you do this? Why didn't you ask me?" They should have went in and just said, "You're fired, you're fired, and you're fired," and got rid of the whole lot of them. They would have gone somewhere else. Many of them probably would have gone to fake news CNN or ABC, but they should have fired them all and said, "No, you don't dictate. This isn't a social club. This isn't a social media outlet." But Heather, I guess it is, because they got what they wanted.
Yes, she wasn't in the in crowd, that's for sure.
And she was only there for how long? For 2 days, and then okay, you're out. And I heard she was being paid, I think, like 600,000 a year. And some of them are being Rachel Maddow, I think she's being paid 30 million. And
Oh
she's mad
gosh.
that this woman, I mean, and I don't know why people are so like see Rachel Maddow as being this like this really person who has a control of the subject matter, because she doesn't. She's a joke. She is
I
a
don't watch
joke.
it. I don't, I can't.
I don't watch her either. And I don't think serious journalists would watch her. Anyone who's watching her, there are a lot of people that bow down at the altar of Rachel Maddow because they think what she's saying is so important. Remember when she lied about Trump's tax returns? And if she had them, it was against the law. But no one in the media wanted to call her out and say, "Well, that's personal. She's not supposed to have his tax returns. How did she get them?" No one wanted to call her out. They were all in for it because of their hate for Trump. And that's what this is all about, hate for Trump. We can't get the real news because they hate Trump day in and day out. As I said during the first block, the way they were so gleeful thinking that Letitia James is going to take all his properties away. And they had everybody thinking, "Oh, she's going to take it away." And no one thought, but wait a minute. First, she's got to file the paperwork. She's got to get the police to go out. She's got to make certain that no one else, their partnerships in with his properties, there aren't any LLCs. The media was just reporting she's going to take it, and so many people fell for it. The same way they fell for Russia collusion without asking. Wait a minute. This makes absolutely no sense. Adam Schiff keeps saying he has the proof. Where is the proof? There was no proof. Whereas with Joe Biden, we got proof 7 ways to Sunday that he was benefiting from Hunter Biden and all these trade deals with Ukraine and China. We have business partners coming out saying, yes, Joe was the man. But the media is telling us, oh, there's nothing here. It's no big deal. First it was, he didn't know about it. He never spoke with them. Then, well, he might have spoken with them, but it's not a crime. It's not a crime because they say that it's not a crime. But with Trump, everything is a crime. You had John Stewart the other day attacking Trump. I think I sent you an article attacking Trump, saying that, oh, well, look at what Trump did. He inflated his properties, only to find out, Heather, that John Stewart did the exact same thing, but the media will not come after him. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that I read the article, Rob, and I actually talked to a real estate guy about it. I don't know that Stewart did the exact same thing, but I think that the man I spoke with, who's an experienced real estate guy, he's actually not a conservative either, you know, but he felt that that the whole idea that Trump should be prosecuted for inflating this estimate is absurd. And this is a guy who doesn't like Trump. But, you know, his comment was, look, you know, first of all, these banks are pretty shrewd. They're in the business of making assessments. Everyone knew Donald Trump likes to exaggerate. He speaks hyperbolically to make his points. I mean, he's known to, you know, have a very high opinion of himself and his properties. Anyway, the other point this man made is that this is subjective. You know, the valuation of a property, especially these special kinds of properties that are like tied to someone's personality or celebrity. It's very subjective. It's like saying, what is this piece of art worth? I mean, they're really, it's not like algebra where there, you know, it's not math where there's a right and wrong answer. And so, you know, even if Trump did, inflate it, I mean, it's subjective. Maybe that's what Trump thought it was worth. And it's the job of the bank to make the assessment, as to whether they feel it's worthwhile to make the loan, and they have their own appraisers and assessors. So anyway, this man I spoke with, he felt that even though he doesn't like Trump, he feels the whole thing is absurd. And as far as John Stewart, I don't know that he did the exact same thing because he wasn't seeking a loan. But my understanding is he was, I think the difference, you know, is that he paid a certain amount of tax on his property, which was a lower amount than what you would expect given what he sold it for. So it's a kind of, I think if I'm understanding right, it's not like an active inflation, but it's kind of a passive allowing the assessment to be lower. Anyway, I'm not sure I 100% got it, but there's a discrepancy between what Stewart's property was valued at and what level taxes he was paying and what he eventually sold it for, which maybe had something to do with the celebrity, factor. But there's no question that, Stewart didn't bend over backwards to, make sure to have, the amount that he was paying taxes be exactly commensurate with the maximum level of his, profits from selling this place. I mean, the reality is that people in the world of business, they try to get ahead and they try to make a claim. And most people aren't going to make an estimate to their own disadvantage. They're going to try to estimate, as advantageously to themselves as they can. And I think it's really the job of the other parties who are, deciding whether to make the loan or to levy what amount of tax to push back if they think that assessment is unrealistic, right? It's like saying, it's like blaming someone for asking for a bigger salary for overvaluing themselves. And let's say they ask for $250,000 to do a job and they get it. And then later it's learned that the people who typically do that job make $80,000. So how dare they have overestimated what the market will bear? Well, I mean, yeah, maybe it's a little cocky or egotistical that they did that, but isn't it the responsibility of the employer to say, no, your skills can't command that much? It's kind of like blaming someone for having chutzpah and overvaluing themselves a little bit and getting away with it, as opposed to saying, well, there was really no victim, and the people who chose to make the loan, you know, it's sort of like, you know, buyer beware, you know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, none of this would be getting prosecuted if it weren't Donald Trump.
Again, I would submit to you that what Trump did, it happens all over.
Right, right.
You're going to say that my property is worth X amount of dollars, but then it is up to the financial institution or the person who's lending you the money to do their own appraisal to determine the true value. It is not up to the judge to determine the value, especially a judge who knows nothing about real estate. What the judge will do is consult with a realtor and have a realtor to go out and assess the value. But to sit on a bench and just come up with the value hold cloth and then to put it out there and say, no, this is what I say the value is, and then for the media to go along with it and not question the judge, I mean, that's akin to a judge sitting on a bench and telling a woman, no, you weren't raped. I'm going to decide if you were raped or not. No, you weren't. Now, imagine if a judge were to do that. Well, if the judge were sitting in judgment of a conservative woman and make that pronouncement, the media would be okay with it. But if the judge is sitting in judgment for someone like E. Jean Carroll, they're like, oh, no, no, she was raped. That's right. She was raped. Never mind the fact that she doesn't know who, where, what, when, and how. She's just putting it out there. And people just going along with it because the media wrote that we're supposed to accept this. Don't question it. We have the final say. We're looking out for you. And what we say is right. You don't have to do any thinking. You don't have to do any in-depth thinking. You don't have to be a subject matter expert. Just read what we say, and that's it. Be a parrot of what we say. Because we know better than you. Because we're the elitist. Trust us. Look up to us. Don't use your own sound judgment. And that's where we are. And people are going along with it. It's like we're sheeples and we are about to fall off a cliff if people don't start waking up and pushing back. And that is the danger, that this group of people have that amount of power in their hands and they're wielding it and they're controlling it and they're getting people to believe that what they say is right and it's not. We can challenge them, but in doing so, you risk them coming after you. You risk our justice system saying, oh, you can't say that. You can't do that. We're going to come after you. We think you should be in jail. We're going to make it such that your life is miserable. We're going to make it such that you don't have any friends. As you said during the opening, you have certain lawyers that these groups, these PACs are going after them if they even think about defending Trump. We're going to go after you. We're going to have you disbarred. This is supposed to be our justice system. And you have lawyers that are going to go along with this? Now imagine if the same thing took place during the civil rights movement. I'm sure some of them did have that fear. But imagine if they said, if you represent them, if you speak the truth, we're going to come after you. And you're going to lose your license. That's what Trump is encountering right now. Not able to get the level of representation that he wants. And it's not to knock the attorneys that are representing him now, because I think they're doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. But many times it's who you know. And if it's a lawyer that the judge is like, okay, this guy's going to really sling the law at me. I'm just going to just go ahead and concede. But with these lawyers, it's like, oh, no, we can say whatever we want to say. We can do whatever we want to do. That's not how our legal system is supposed to work. And if we had a fair and honest media, they would call it out. But they're too busy trying to shut down anyone that they don't like. They're too busy trying to go after a single person, Ronna McDaniel, because she's an election denier. Look in the mirror. Who are you guys? Look at Letitia James. She's an election denier. many on the left are election deniers. But see, it's okay. They want the voters to think it's okay. We can challenge the election, but you guys just can't. Remember with Gore versus Bush?
Yeah, sure.
And everyone and thought, it's okay.
A lot of people thought Gore won, and I'll tell you what, I think he might have. I mean, that was another election. It was very close. It all came down to the hanging chads and this, you know, remember it was several days, and Gore did not immediately concede. You know, he did ultimately, but I mean, the truth is a lot of people think Kennedy beat Nixon in 1960. A lot of conservatives believe that Nixon took the hit and he just didn't want to disturb and traumatize the country, but that he won and he knew it. And, you know, he had it. I mean, I think that some of these things will never really be known. And, you know, mature people are okay with that in a way. I mean, we do our best. This is a vast country, and there should be every attempt to have, you know, transparency and election integrity. We should try and take it very seriously. But, you know, the reality is these people, I mean, they cannot stand anyone having any question or doubt in their mind about the last election, and they're going to prosecute and disbar. And it just goes along with their whole mindset, which is totalitarian. And they call Trump divisive. All right, well, what are they?
They're divisive. They're crooked. They're a threat to democracy. And they need to be shut down. I'm sorry. They have to be shut down. This is they're not, Heather, but they're not, in my opinion, they're not functioning as a free press. They're not a free press. They're anything
but a
free
press. They're a biased press. They're a biased press, but they're free to be biased. And, you know, we have to get out there and, you know, they can't shut us down.
And they're free to be biased. Right. They're free to be biased. But with all the connections that they have, it's borderline. It's not borderline. It's corrupt and it's wrong. Uh-huh. And right, well, I know you said that the answer to it is more free press, but when you're constantly being shut down at every angle and you can't get your voice heard because of unfair practices, it's a monopoly, so to speak. It's a monopoly of fake news.
But I wouldn't go that far, Rob. I'll tell you
I
why.
Would.
Because we have talk radio, we have Fox News, there's One American News. There's the New York Post.
But they're trying to shut that down. Look at the South. Look at what George Soros' company is doing. Yeah. George Soros is going in the South and buying up all the radio stations. Okay,
really?
By this time, by election year, when the election rolls around, he would have bought every independent radio station in the South on the AM channel. You know why he's doing it? Because talk radio has been thriving there. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to shut it all down. It's a monopoly that the left, yes, you got to look it up. It is a monopoly that he has been going, buying up all these independent radio stations where conservative talk shows thrive. They want to shut it down. That's the reason why they didn't want Elon Musk electric cars to have AM radio, because they said, hey, we can shut this down. So this is all by design, Heather, and I've been saying this, it's by design. We're up against another commercial break, hard to believe it. But we're going to pick this up on the other side. We're going to also discuss the death of Senator Joe Lieberman, who was 82 years old. We'll be back after this commercial break. Thank you.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
The last half of the show, we opened up talking about the hissy fit, the meltdown that the folks on the left had when NBC hired Rona McDaniel, who was the former head of the RNC, and not understanding what the big deal was about, considering they have hired people on the left who have done worse, who have denied the election. Look at Al Sharpton, case in point. Al Sharpton, a race baiter. Al Sharpton and his whole Tawana Brawley lie. He disparaged police officers. He was sued. He had tax evasion. And I want to mention this. The other night, we found out that Joe Lieberman, former senator, was he from Massachusetts? Died at the age of 82. New Hampshire of 82. He had run for the president. Yeah. He was also John McCain's. I think he was John McCain's running mate at one point. He was also Al Gore's running mate.
But Gore Lieberman, right.
Gore Lieberman, right. But I think people have forgot that when he was running for the presidency, Al Sharpton came out and said, there will be no Hadassah in the White House. And he was referring to her Jewish lineage. Now, they're not going to bring that up now. The left will not bring that up. And you know what else, Heather? I went online.
What? God bless you, Bob, for remembering these things.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember it so clearly. And I went online to Google it. It is very difficult to find that statement that he made.
Yeah.
They've tried to whitewash it. They've tried to clean it up because now he's this like important figure in the news. He's an important figure. He's the same race hustler that he has always been. A few pounds lighter, albeit a few pounds lighter, but he's still the same race baiter. And they have hidden what he said. But you know what? They can find everything that Trump said. Oh, he said this at this time. He said it this year. But for Al Sharpton, and I'm sure a lot of people don't even remember it, but I remember as if though it was yesterday, he came out and said, there will be no Hadassah in the White House.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I thought, wow. That's just, it just goes to show how the media has changed so drastically. And they give all these people cover. And if you fit in with their ideology, with their woke politics, you're good. But the moment you stray, that's it. They will come after you. Now, they'll try to rehabilitate you. But they will come after you viciously and will try and destroy you. This is what our media has become. And the fact that these flunkies, these crybabies, these so-called wannabe journalists were able to convince the top brass at NBC to fire Rona McDaniel simply because, oh, she hurt her feelings and we want to get at the truth, when they have all lied, cheated, and they continue to lie and cheat. And there's no one to hold them accountable. Well, some would say, well, turn off your TV station, turn off your radio station. Yeah, we can turn it off, but they're still playing somewhere else. Remember how fake news CNN had a contract with all of the airports to broadcast their news? Little did people know, and I always wondered, I'm like, why CNN at every airport? They were giving it away free because the airports wouldn't pay for it. They would just say, okay, we'll do it since it's going to be free. I mean, that's how bad it has gotten. But still, their reach, Heather, is so far. And I heard you when you said in the first segment, you know, but we got to continue doing what we're doing. I get it. I understand it. But when these guys have such a huge platform that they can control and manipulate what people are thinking, what people are seeing, that's dangerous. I mean, never would we have thought that they would, people would want, actually want illegals to vote in our election.
Believe me, they want.
And if they were to succeed, China would send everyone here. The next thing you know, we're voting for people out of the country. And Americans, and Americans are so not in tune to this. It's like, think about what you're agreeing to. You want to let illegals vote because you're thinking, oh, that'll keep the Democrats in power forever. But it's not just about the Democrats, because they don't see the writing on the wall. But if you have all these Chinese illegals that are coming here, the next thing you know, one of them will be running for office. And the next thing you know, they will win, because you'll have people from overseas interfering in our election. That's election interference. But the Democrats don't see that. They don't want you to see it. They just want you to think, oh, they should be able to vote. That's the reason why our borders are torn down.
Is that why? I mean, it escapes me, really, why. I mean, I've always thought, just to bend over backwards and be really objective about it, I mean, I think there are people on both sides of the aisle who benefit from this. I mean, otherwise, this just would not have continued this many years, this illegal immigration on such a scale. I mean, whether it's, the Democrats wanting the votes, the agribusiness wanting the cheap labor. I mean, it just makes no sense at this point. And, it's just, I'm sorry for these people, but as we know, there's human trafficking, there's importation of drugs, there's terrible migrating of problems from Mexico and everywhere else around the world. There's terrorist threats. I mean, it's out of control. Everybody knows it at this point. And that's not to say some of them, as Trump said, aren't nice people coming, which was actually quite a humane and truthful statement that he made. And everybody thought it was the worst thing anybody ever said. And he pointed out that criminals were coming here, but, made the point that he didn't want to demonize everyone. These are human beings, and some of them are nice people who are taking a chance to get a better life. I actually thought it was a fair statement, blunt though it was, but now we all know, it was also true. There's tremendous migration of problems from all around the world. And so, the left, they got to do their armchair humanitarian fake thing and champion a cause, illegal immigration, that most of them know nothing about, haven't researched, didn't pay any attention to, turned a blind eye to all the problems and downside. And, we see that when it comes to their communities, that, all these people, are, there are criminal elements, they're straining resources. They don't like it. It's just classic hypocrisy. We see it, that said, I mean, it's just, only one of the problems that have worsened with Biden in office. And, personally, who I'm pulling for, but I don't know, Rob, I don't know if the powers that be are going to even let Trump. So, I mean, they're pulling out everything out of the kitchen sink. I mean, they're throwing every fake lawsuit and charge against him. It's so obvious that the establishment in this country, the Democratic establishment, will do anything, almost anything, to stop.
Well, that's
him.
The reason why Trump has said that we have to win by large numbers. We can't win by small numbers. We have to win by large numbers. It's not going to be easy. And that's not to say that even with the large numbers that we will still be victorious, because it goes back to the media. What we see right now, it's just scratching the surface as to what they plan to do as the year progresses and we come closer to November to vote. They're going to hold back nothing. They're going to pull out everything to stop him, because in their mind, him coming into power means that their ruling will end. And I don't necessarily think that it will, because they'll still be in control and they will still be able to do things that they shouldn't do. They'll still lie. They'll still cheat. because he would never be able to put together a coalition of congressmen who would say, okay, this is what we need to do to stop this, to stop the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. I mean, look at what they're doing to Robert F. Kennedy. Now, I don't personally think he's a serious candidate. I remember at one point earlier on when he said that he was going to run, you had a lot of Republicans saying, well, maybe Trump should have him as his running mate. And I thought that was the most insane thing ever. I'm like, the guy is still a liberal. He's still a Democrat. Do you actually think by putting him on the ticket is going to help matters? Absolutely not. And now he's his vice president. He's got this rich woman who was formerly married to the founder of Google.
Right.
Something Sheena had. Yeah, she was his former wife. And they had said, no, this is a bit of gossip here, I think, that she had had an affair with Elon Musk and that she and her husband broke up. But she's funding this man's campaign. And you have the Kennedy clan that are against him. They were seen in a photo with Joe Biden, a lot of the Kennedys at the White House with Joe Biden. I think it was during St. Patrick's Day, as to make a statement that we're behind Joe. And we know the Kennedys are corrupt. Majority of them are corrupt. And they want to keep corruption in power. But I thought, so now, you know, the media, it's like, oh, well, no, we're not going to even focus in on him. So they're going to do all they can to destroy him. Me personally, just to be honest with you, I don't know what he's saying. Okay, if you're going to be the president, I need to understand. You need to be able to articulate. I know that there is a speech impediment there, but hey, I'm sorry. I want to be able to understand what you're saying. But people are deceived because he's from that Kennedy era. And they're thinking, oh, wow, the Kennedys are coming back to the White House. No, they're the last people we need to come back to the White House, especially if they have a D behind their name.
But yeah, the one thing I will say, and I have to research his positions on more, I do like it that he's standing up for Americans who don't want to choose to get the vaccine, who, you know, for a lot of things, I won't even go into it here, Rob, but for a lot of personal reasons, I have become very, very much a believer, and I always was, you know, in bodily integrity and the right of a person to, you know, I mean, listen, the pro-abortion people take it to an extreme, and that's, I am pro-choice. I don't like abortion, but that's not just your body. It's something else, someone else also potentially. But I mean, certainly when it comes to your body itself and what you stick in it, I mean, short of something that's really, you know, been around for hundreds of years and proven to be, you know, intrinsic to the eradication of deathly childhood disease, you know, those kind of vaccines, okay, that's a little different. But I mean, I think in general, for the government to be mandating, listen, a lot of the things the government tells us are safe are not safe. And I've had my own personal experience with this recently. I don't have tremendous confidence in the FDA and the, you know, regulating bodies. And I think everybody has the right to know what's going into their body. And I think that he is standing up for that. So I do like that about him.
But that's it. There are other things that you have to take into consideration. And I think that if he were to somehow upset Trump and Biden, I think the country would not be in a good place. I mean, yes, he's good on the vaccine, but you look at the other issues with climate change. You look at the other issues, the social issues that, you know, people have to focus in on. It's just not about the vaccine, which I think a lot of people like. There's so much more, but I think that people are looking at his position on the vaccine and then that he's from the Kennedy camp and is like, oh, he's going to restore us back to Camelot. He's not going to restore us back to Camelot. That's just one issue that you agree with him on. You have to look at his entire book of issues. And when you look at it, you'll see, nope, he's just another wacko. I wanted to say another wacko from Waco, but no, absolutely not. And he only has this woman who knows absolutely nothing. He only has her because of her purse. She has all this money and she can bankroll him. I mean, he has to get on. As an independent, he's got to get on all of the ballots. She has enough money to get him there. But other than that, it's like it's not going to win. But I digress. Going back to the media, what the media is trying to do to him to shut him down. Because they're afraid from their polling is that he would take away more votes from Biden than Trump. I think he would take away something like 20% from Trump, but then the other portion would come from Biden, and they don't like that. So it's like, we better knock him out right now. And they even said that anyone who looks at running a third party, they're going to come after them. And of course, they will use the media to do it. And that is the reason why I keep saying the media has to be stopped. The media has to be stopped in its current form. I don't even want to call them media. It's the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. Maybe if I were to say that, it would be more palatable to a lot of people. But the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party needs to be shut down in its current form. And they're disguising themselves as being the media, but they're not. Let's just be honest, they're not. They're commentators. They're talk show hosts. Every once in a while, you might get 5 minutes of a news story. I mean, look at the police officer who was recently killed. Do you hear anything about it? Look at what happened to Lincoln Riley. Do you hear anything about her now? No. We've forgotten all about it. People just moved on. As if Lincoln's life wasn't significant. This police officer who was killed, his life wasn't significant. But the moment a police officer kills a black man, oh my God, we're going to tear down the city. But they're quiet on everything else. A black girl goes missing, they're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, we got to talk about it.
How many black children are killed? You know, we hear Black Lives Matter, but you know, it seems to apply more to men, grown men who are in arguments with the police, than it does to innocent children.
Right. Well, you look at what happened in Baltimore. Look at what happened in Baltimore with the bridge that collapsed. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg was there like the next day. But East Palestine, the train wreck, it took them like 2 months to get there. Joe Biden didn't go for a year. But for this bridge, we got to go there. Why? Because Baltimore is predominantly black. East Palestine is predominantly white. They voted conservative. So we don't care about them. And the media will not call this out. They're focusing in on the Baltimore bridge, but very little about East Palestine. It's like, we don't care about them. Let them die. The media has to be held accountable. They are an enemy of the people, and they must be held accountable, and people need to start standing up. Now, Heather, unfortunately, we're all out of time. That quick, we're all out of time. But I think we covered
a lot. Yes,
yes, and I will say this. In conclusion, I will say this. Again, this propaganda arm of the Democrat Party is a threat to democracy, and it needs to be shut down. You've been listening to After Dark Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform with my special co-host, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. As my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something, a fall for nothing. Good night, God bless, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode of After Dark. Thank you. Good night.